How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Be back with you on the broadcast again, and we'll pick up our study here in John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2, verse number 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, that is Jesus Christ, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. And they continued there not many days. And so we see the composition here of that those that followed along with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that it's him. We see that it's his mother. We see that it's his half-brothers, if you will. And we see that it's his disciples. All of them together in the very beginning of the Lord's ministry. They go to Capernaum, that city there that's up north on the Sea of Galilee. And it says there in verse number 12, they continued there not many days. So they didn't stay there for long. They were there for a while, but then moved on. Verse number 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And I find it interesting here how it is in the Scripture. When it's always talked about in the Gospels and in the New Testament, when Jerusalem is referred to, it's always referred to as those that are going to Jerusalem are going up. Now, in thinking the directions and of the poles of the earth and north, south, east, and west. When we talk about going east or west, we talk about maybe going over. When we talk about going north, we talk about going up. When we talk about going south, we talk about going down south. But here, everything for the Jew is relative to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem being set on the hill, the hill of Zion there, the city of Zion, the mountain of Moriah, there were the mountain of Olive, the Mount of Olives there being very near, and as well as others. The Jewish folks always refer to going up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem being elevated, Jerusalem being that place where God has set his name. And so they always refer to it as being elevated relative to the countryside. So no matter if you were one, an Israelite that lived up north in Galilee, as the Lord did up in Nazareth and coming from Capernaum and those cities up there north of Jerusalem, the reference would always be going up. We would go up to Jerusalem, even though you're heading south. If it would be to the east, you would say you'd go up to Jerusalem. If you're to the west, you would say you would go up to Jerusalem. If you were in the south, you would say that you would go up to Jerusalem. And so it says here, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, verse 13, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And so here these folks are here. They're in the temple area. They crowded right in to even the inner part of the temple. And what they're doing is they're making an exchange of money. It refers to as these of changers of money. They're there, taking the money from the different people that come from all over. If we take a look in the first chapter or so of the book of Acts, the first and second chapter there, as Peter and other of the apostles preach, and a miraculous thing happens where many nations, 17 to 20 nations, if my memory serves me right, hear the wondrous works of God, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ. They hear it in their own native tongue, the tongue in which of the land in which they were born. That was a thing where the Lord manifested and gave his sanction to his church that day on Pentecost. The Lord had built his church during the time of his ministry. He had given the Holy Spirit, the work of the Comforter, to his church, as it's indicated later here in the book of John, and in time we'll get to that. And this was the the sanction of the Lord's church to the world. She had already been empowered, but it was manifested to the world that day. And so the point is that there's many different folks, many Israelites, many Jewish folks that are coming to worship at the time of Passover. At that time, the celebration, the feast, the observance of the Passover given to the Lord to the nation of Israel, and they're coming out of the land of Egypt when the Lord protected them from that 10th plague that he brought upon the Egyptians in the death of the firstborn of men and of cattle in that land. It was the Passover. The hallmark thing that we remember about the Passover is that the Lord said to the Israelites, there was no Passover allowance or no Passover made for the Egyptians, but the Passover for the Lord's people there, living in the land of Goshen, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it's telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's many nations here, or many people coming from different regions of the world at that time, coming there to do their worship. And what they have to do is they take the money that they have from where they come from, and the money changers are changing it into the money of the temple, because that's the only money that you can use. And then what's going on in this, as it is with men and such things as this, money changing and such as that, there's extortion going on to boot. The extortion, people are being ripped off. People are being sold sacrifices, the different animals needed for different sacrifices, being sold that right there in the temple. And the Lord is going to deal with them in that. So it says in verse 14, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. So you have these that are selling animals for sacrifices, and you see the money changers converting the money of those different of those different regions that the people are coming from into the money of the temple. Verse 15, and when he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Verse 16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. I find this passage very interesting. Have any of you ever seen a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ with long flowing locks and kind of a wimpy kind of looking fella? Kind of a man that was just kind of soft seeming, very gentle, very mild, very maybe even weak. We've seen many pictures of the Savior, supposedly, and it's not the Savior, on the cross of Calvary, being crucified there. Listen, all those are a mockery to our Lord. When you deal with money, and when you deal with a lot of money, what is it that you have around you? Well, if you're going to be a money changer in this day, no doubt you're going to be a man that can handle yourself, or you're going to have men around you that can handle themselves. A money changer is always going to be worried about thievery. And so these money changers, they've got people there. They've bought a position with the Pharisees and with the religious elite of the day to be able to sell and trade and do the money changing there in the temple. They've bought their place, and they're going to be very guarded about their business. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in making this small scourge of cords, he drives them all out. He drives them all out. He drives out all the animals. And you know what? Nobody stands up against him. Understand, people, and understand, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man. And he was a man well able to defend himself. A man well able with strength and power to do such a thing as this, and nobody at all throw up a defense against him. The size of the temple at that day, it was sizable. And the Lord Jesus Christ drove them all out. It says in other accounts in the Gospels about this, and another account that's going to take place closer to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that anybody that would try to carry an animal through the temple or any goods through the temple, that he would drive them out too. Understand, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're saved today, your Savior and my Savior, he was no wimp. He was no weak man. He was a meek man. But meekness is not indicative of weakness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd had enough. He'd had enough of this wickedness that was going on in the temple. And he, and here in the beginning of his ministry, at the time of the Passover, he set the record straight. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 16. We'll read it again. "And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." He says, this is my Father's house. This house, this temple is dedicated to the worship of God Almighty, the Heavenly Father. It's dedicated to him. This is his place where he set his name. And it need not be a place of changing money. It's not to be a place of selling sacrifices for the people. Do that down the street. Do that off of the temple grounds. Change that money at a place more appropriate. And don't make my Father's house a house of merchandise. You know the accounts in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ says, and these accounts here, and the account at the where he does so again at the end of his ministry, he says, don't make my Father's house a den of thieves. And what's he saying? The money changers are ripping people off. Sure, they should have a little bit for changing the money, but they shouldn't extort the people. And sure, those that would sell animals for the sacrifices, for those that had traveled from a long way, sure, they should make a return for their work. But there they were, taking the service and the order and the practice and the worship of God and taking it and benefiting from it themselves, profiting from it exorbitantly for themselves. And it made our Savior very, very angry. Listen to what it says in verse number 17. "And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." At the time that John writes his gospel, and if we understand historically, it may be later in his life. We don't know for sure, but it very well may be. But at the time that John writes his gospel, and by rehearsing this account over in his mind, the Lord, the Spirit of God moving in him to write this account at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, the first Passover of the Lord's ministry, the Lord having had a three-year ministry, and that's an interesting point in the book of John that we can go and kind of find the timeline of the Lord's ministry by referring to the Passover accounts in the book of John. But John says that in later on time, the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. It's a reference in the book of Psalms, Psalm 69. A psalm, if my memory serves me right, written by David. And they say that the Lord Jesus Christ doing those times that he did at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, it's a fulfillment of that passage. It's a fulfillment of that scripture. What's that mean to us? We need to understand that we need to avail ourselves of the Word of God. We need to take the Word of God and hide it in our hearts that we wouldn't sin against the Lord. And that the Lord would have something within us to use and to work with as his people and his children. And that when circumstance and situation comes about, that we'd have that scripture within to refer to, that the Lord might help us when we need it, and the Lord might help us to understand when he desires and seeks to open up something to us. Without the Word of God in us, it won't happen. Well, see that our time has passed. Farewell till next time, and may the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.